Welcome back to TV Campfire Podcast. This is podcast number 48, and I'm Libya, your host. And this week we have returning guests.
Tom from L.A.
And Ronnie from Las Vegas.
Peter from L.A.
And Allison from L.A.
Woohoo! All right, let's start off with the news. The first item I have is that the order for the cape has been reduced from 13 to like
10.
Yes. And I can tell you I'm not crying because I have already deleted it from my TiVo. So that works out for me. However, I am not happy about the fact that I just found out that the order for Human Target has not, they did not pick up the back nine, which means that the episode that comes on next week is the possibly the last episode ever. And I am depressed and sad, and it feels like some sort of cosmic conspiracy to cancel all the shows that I care about this season. I think I've hit an all-time high this season with the most number of shows that I watch that have been canceled, ever.
Ooh. Oh my gosh.
And I'm not happy.
Well, if they keep,
please, not Human Target, please.
If they keep with the lackluster new shows in the fall again next year.
Well, I mean, I agree. Most of them lackluster, but this season, Lie to Me was in its second season, and Human Target was technically in its second season,
Third season of Lie to Me.
Oh, you're right. It was third season of Lie to Me. And so they just, I feel like I can't get attached to any show.
And what do those shows have in common? F-O-X.
Those two shows, yes, but I have to say, this season it's not just Fox that has been canceling my shows.
Yeah, but Fox seems like, if it's not American Idol or Glee, we don't care.
That's true.
I concur.
The other news that I have is that I want to let everybody know. Oh, wait, there's one thing. NBC is ordering a BBC pilot because, of course, they can't come up with their own pilots. So they're doing Prime Suspect, which I like the show. It was starring Helen Mirren, except that TNT already did that. It's called The Closer. And so I'm like, are you aware that they already made an American version of Prime Suspect and just changed the name?
Added the Southern accent.
Well, let's do it again.
Yeah, I think that's very bad idea.
Have they cast it yet?
I don't know. I just know that they ordered the pilot.
Because they were having problems casting it.
Well, I mean, it's Helen Mirren. Excuse me, it's Helen. I can't say Helen Mirren. Thank you. I like stuttered over.
Seriously, they've been having
problems.
And
she's awfully hard to duplicate.
Seriously.
Awesome.
So I don't blame them from having a hard time for casting that, but I just think it's a bad idea, mainly because TNT already has The Closer, and The Closer's on. Next season's going to be its last season. It's just not. It just seems weird.
Did you hear about The Closer that they've extended its episode order so they could do the backdoor pilot?
Backdoor pilot for what?
They're going to introduce a new investigator and then spin him or her
off.
Oh,
spin off?
Oh, of course they are, because they can't just let a show die.
So they extended the run by like 6 to 8 episodes.
Mm. Okay. Well, I mean, I like The Closer, so I'm not mad about that, but okay. As long as they end the show well, that's all I care about. The next piece of news I have is I want to remind everybody that next week, as I was talking about my depression of all the shows that are canceled, next week we have a batch of new shows or returning shows that you might want to set your TiVo for. The first is on Monday. We have Chicago Code, which
looks terrible.
It does not look terrible at all.
Looks god awful. But I'm totally gonna watch it, and I'm a Chicago person. But I think it looks pretty bad.
I think the trailers look fantastic.
It's gotten
no
decent.
Way, man.
I'm just no seriously. It's one of the best trailers I've seen since all the new shows, and it's Tim Minear, and
it's gotten decent reviews. They said the most laughable thing is that Jennifer Beals' hat is too big for her.
Like, yeah, it's everything I've seen about it looks great.
See, my only issue with it is that it is starring the wrong Jason from Brotherhood.
Oh. But everything I've seen about it, I've seen some really long trailers, and it looks really good and gritty.
I've only seen the TV spots, the 30-second ones, and I think it looks really cheesy. However, that doesn't mean I'm totally curious. I want to watch it, but
curious enough to tune in, but it kind of just looks like another cop show to me.
Well, some cop show, it's from the creators of The Shield, and I love The Shield.
It's
so.
From Sean Ryan, and yeah. Delroy Lindo is supposed to be charismatic as this crooked alderman.
Right, and
well,
I mean,
I like Delroy Lindo. I mean, he's, yeah. He's, but yeah, I don't know. Well, go ahead. What are the new shows?
Thank you for letting me finish my sentence. The next thing is season 2 of Justified starts on Wednesday.
Woo! I love that show.
And the other show I want to talk about is there's a show called Mr. Sunshine, which also premieres next Wednesday. And it's with Matthew Perry and apparently a few people from the West Wing. Yeah, I saw some other actors from there, and I'm excited. I'm like, all right. And the trailers from that, I mean, comedies for me are kind of hard to gauge, so I'm going to give it a shot just because I like the two main characters. So I set my TiVo. I'll be talking about it next week.
Yeah.
And that's all the news that I have. Anybody else?
I have a big piece of news for all people, all males of ethnicity. After 30-some years, they have finally cast a black angel for the new Charlie's Angel TV show set in Miami. So,
well, the first thing you just said
Who is it?
I can't pronounce her name.
Well, what's she from? Do you know anything we recognize her from?
Oh, see, I would go online and tell you. Minka Kelly is kind of the headliner of the three women.
Oh.
I like Minka Kelly. What's wrong with Minka Kelly?
I didn't like her on...
Friday Night Lights.
She was my least favorite character. I wanted her to die.
Oh my gosh. I liked her on Friday Night. Actually, I think everybody was good on Friday Night Lights.
I liked most of the characters. She just was not the one that I liked. So,
but when's Charlie's Angels? Is it this fall? When's it coming?
This fall, yes.
Who's doing it? Who's the producer?
I think Drew Barrymore is executive producer, and the showrunners are Alfred Gow and Miles Millar from Smallville.
Oh my god.
Well, that makes sense because of the McG connection between them. So that I could see that.
I'm not going to be tuning in.
Yeah. And isn't David E. Kelly trying to cast Wonder Woman right now?
They're casting Wonder Woman, and I've read this. I read the plot synopsis of the pilot, and I'm like, come on, seriously?
I heard that Wonder Woman is going to have female doubts about her femininity and self-doubt and all that and be a real woman and be...
And three identities.
And I'm kind of like, really, Wonder Woman is going to be, does my butt look fat? Like, come on.
Let's not go there, you know?
Seriously.
Well, I just heard that Kobe Smulders, the girl who plays Robin on How I Met Your Mother, is supposedly pretty close to being a part of to joining the cast of the Avengers. And supposedly... Joss Whedon had talked to her before when he was doing Wonder Woman. And I was like, actually, that might have worked. I can kind of see her being Wonder Woman.
Yeah, but that's Joss Whedon. I was like, Joss Whedon's version of Wonder Woman would have rocked.
That was
several
versions ago.
Yeah, David E. Kelly's Wonder Woman apparently is going to be Ally McBeal-ish.
Wait, what's David E. Kelly's big thing? Is he the practice? Is that him?
Yes. Yeah. And Ally McBeal.
Picket fences.
So he's always lawyers.
Right.
Boston Legal.
Yeah, he's done some shows, but I don't like his women. And him doing Wonder Woman just seems wrong.
It is wrong.
Anyway, so let's move on to shows as I get depressed about the new shows that are coming. All right. First up is Human Target. We're going to talk about the Monday episode and then the Wednesday episode. Oh, and the other thing I wanted to mention... there were two episodes of Human Target that, at least for the West Coast market, didn't air because they got preempted, but they're online on Hulu, so that's weird. So if there's two episodes, it's the one with Guerrero. What is his name? Guerrero, right?
Guerrero.
Guerrero. Thank you. The Greek. Yeah, the episode with him.
Okay.
That's basically, he has like
that guy.
Yeah, there's like an episode where he has a body in the trunk and gets pulled over by the cops. Like that episode, and then there's another one. Those two episodes didn't air for the West Coast because it got preempted for some reason. But apparently they must have aired on the East Coast because it's available on like Hulu. So go watch those two.
Weird.
And it's worth it to go and watch them because they're both really good.
Oh, cool. How did you see them? Never mind.
On Hulu.
Oh, on Hulu. Oh, okay.
I think I went right to Fox.
Well, whichever works. All right, so let's talk about the ones that came on this week.
Wait, can I say something about Hulu for a second?
Okay, we haven't started talking about shows yet. Go for it.
I just wanted to say I was pretty happy that I don't know how many of the listeners out there know, but I'm one of the people who actually, I don't have cable anymore. I'm now all digital antenna and whatever I, you know, get off iTunes. But one of the shows that I missed from not having cable was my wife and I kind of liked watching The Colbert Report and The Daily Show.
Right.
And it's now on Hulu. So actually I've been watching it this week and it's awesome. And Tosh.0 is also on Hulu. Pretty cool. Like I'm kind of like, I was just like, wow, there's all these, because those are the kind of shows that I would never pay to download because they're very, it's kind of like a magazine, you know, it's like, well, I'm never going to watch it again, but I was like, oh, that's kind of cool that these shows are on there now. So anyways, I was just, that was all I want to say. I'm just happy that those shows are on there. So that's all. All
right. Human Target. The first episode, when Monday, who wants to talk about it?
I just want to say I'm tired of people getting shot under the heart. It's kind of like an homage back to Burn Notice. I think the writers must have thought, hey, you know, Burn Notice did it once, so let's do it twice in an episode.
That's true. I didn't think about that.
The first episode I thought was kind of routine.
It was pretty standard. It was a pretty standard episode. I did like the whole... I like the fact that Chance was absolutely convinced that the spy woman was in love with her husband and built the entire plan based on the fact that she wouldn't kill him, and then she shoots him, and he's like, "Oh, you know."
But so, he shoots him. She shoots him in just the right place.
Right, but I mean, I really like that his entire plan was based on that. Like, he was just super romantic. It just seemed odd but funny. And was that the one where the thief chick kept thinking, she kept trying to set him up? No, that's the next one.
No, AIM.
That was the next one. Sorry. Yeah. So yeah, I really thought that this one, it was okay. I agree, it was okay. It wasn't as good as Wednesday's one, which was, it knocked it out of the park. It was fun. Chance got to do some fun stuff, and there was a lot of sarcasm and banter between the team, and that's pretty much what I like. And then the scene at the very end when the couple are both shot and they're in the truck and they're like in the back of the SUV and they're like, "Oh, you were right, yeah, just a flesh wound. I love you." Like that made me laugh. But you're right, it was standard fare. You got a comment?
No, just that.
It was just standard. The second one, which premiered on Wednesday, was way better. I mean, it was really, really good.
Okay, when you start with Tony Hale, how can you go wrong?
Who's Tony Hale?
Tony Hale played Harry.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, right. Yeah, that dude was great.
But Buster from Arrested Development. And I love, I'm not a big fan of the
flashback
episodes, but this was one that actually made sense.
Right.
It wasn't just like, oh, the episode's not working, so let's put it out of order to amp up the suspense.
Right. This was very much to the point of, I have to bring this random character up to speed because he doesn't know what the heck is going on and his life is in danger. And so let me give you... And I like the way they did it too, because he's telling it as a story and it's not happening in real time, he could speed up events.
Mm-hmm.
So he's kind of like, okay, this is what happened at the beginning. It's like, okay, we're going to skip this other part and I'll tell you this thing right here. And so all of that really worked. And he's like, okay, I'm going to need your sock. And I was like, what are you, MacGyver?
See that bottle of whiskey? Buy it. It's $100. I'll pay you back.
Yeah, it was just like, I need that glass bottle. I need your sock. And I need some, what else? He wanted like a toothpick. Like it was.
Order two martinis.
Oh yes, I get your. Yes, I get the toothpicks. I was like, what is he doing? And then it was I because it was played out of order. It's kind of out of order in my head. Like, what was the most cool thing? I did like that. The plan when they break into the embassy or whatever, is he's like balanced on the table. He's like, I got it totally under control.
No, but the best part was when she drank the wine.
Right. She puts truth serum in the wine for the bad guy to get his password, but he's so paranoid, he won't drink the wine unless she drinks the wine. And so they both freaking drug themselves, and so everyone's telling the truth.
I love Guerrero, amateur.
Yeah, Guerrero was great. He was like, did she drink the wine, dude? And everybody's like, yeah. And he's like, amateur. all that stuff was all really good, especially when she's telling, when she can't help but tell the truth, so she totally tells them what her plan is, and the plan just goes up in flames. It was really, I like the fact that she was brave enough to do it, because Ilsa is awesome, and of course she's brave enough to do the plan, but improvising on the cuff when the entire team is dependent on, I don't know what she should have done, I can't see a better solution, other than I would have pretended to drink the wine, maybe, and not actually drank it, but yeah, that was pretty awesome. And then Ames was trying to set Chance up on a date for like the entire episode, but then she was like, "Oh, then if you don't want to go with my friend, who's obviously super easy, what did she use her parentheses? She's like, oh, she likes to have fun or something. I can't remember.
She wasn't even that euphemistic. She says, oh, yeah, Edwin vibe sex.
She was just so just like, I have a friend who totally wants to have sex with you. When do you want to set it up?
See, I didn't like the runner because they've been building the tension between...
The runner? What is the runner?
The joke, the running gag about Ames trying to set up Chance. I thought that they should have allowed it to... For us to know that Chance... We can see that there's chemistry between the two of them.
Right. I've known that for a couple episodes.
Yeah, I didn't need the over-the-head, hey, just in case you didn't get it, Ames is going to say, ooh, you don't want, you know, you're already in love with somebody on the team.
And what she was trying to say was her. That was Ames. I know.
But still, you knew exactly where it was going.
Well, actually, even more over the head, because Ames was being stupid and was like, oh, mm-hmm. you must like me, and he just walks away. It was more the guy that he's telling the story to. After he tells the story, he's like, well, obviously the reason that your plan didn't work is because you have... He basically was like, because you have feelings for Ilsa. So he basically just said it. So if anything was over the top, I'd say that was, except that it worked when he did it. Because he's an outside observer listening to the story and going, oh, well, your plan didn't work because of this. So I thought it was fine. That part was fine. The aim stuff was just annoying.
I still wish they had done that reveal just a little bit differently.
A little more subtle?
A little more subtly. Because they've been building up to it since they introduced these new characters at the beginning of the season.
Right, and they have been doing that pretty subtly.
They have been doing it subtly, and it's just like, hey, just in case you didn't get it, bam, we're going to hit you over the head with you.
Well, I think the kiss could have given it away.
The kiss was... I can't say it. Now I'm not talking either. The kiss was exquisite, I thought. The way that
they did it. The kiss was nice. I was like, ooh. I was, ooh, okay. That's my couple now. I was like, I'm on board. And then I found out that next week might be the last episode, and then I wanted to cry.
Oh. I have to feel like with Harry, though, it was also really, because I didn't think that, you know, how that they even planned for him to come in beforehand.
I thought that
Guerrero, they already had set that up for him to come in without Chance knowing what was going on.
Right, that was great.
When they, saying everything and like they were like down talking Harry, like, who can we get that nobody would ever think would be, do anything? And Harry goes, I'm in the room, people.
Yeah, he's a good like side character to bring in every once in a while because his like, he thinks that he's a bigger hero than he actually is. Like, he wants to be on the team and he's like the mascot guy, but he's so kind of incompetent that you really can't have him do anything. So I thought he works. I like the fact that this is not the first time we've seen him and he's just like a bad news magnet. I think all that kind of really works.
The episode would not have worked if we hadn't seen him once before.
Right. So it was good. I thought it was a good episode. Thumbs up. All right. As we gush over that. The next thing I want to talk about, I'll be talking about it by myself apparently, which might hint to why it's probably being canceled, is the series/season/cancellation of Lie to Me. And as a series finale, it sucked, and that's mainly because they didn't know that it was their last episode, so I'm sure if they had realized, hey, this is our series finale for 3 seasons. We should probably make it rock. They pretty much just thought that it was just a regular episode. They had no idea. So I give them a pass on that, but it was basically their riff on The Social Network. So it was a bunch of college guys. It was a three-man team or whatever with one girl. And they basically make some social thing where you can use your phone to look at a crowd and it'll tell you their some all kinds of background ID on them, something bizarre like that. I was like, very Big Brother. But they come up with this company, the three of them together, and it's basically, the story is pretty much the same as The Social Network, where they all fight over who came up with the idea, one sues the other one sues the other one back, two against the other, blah, 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 blah. Except for it ends in murder on this in this situation. So that's your twist, but as a story, it was not by far the best Lie to Me story ever, mainly because the computer geek guy who is going up against Lightman, he might be computer savvy, he can hack into Lightman's stuff and find out all kinds of Lightman's personal information, but one-on-one in a room with Lightman, he's a lightweight. Because they basically were saying that because this guy is super computer savvy, he doesn't really, can't really communicate with people one-on-one in person. He lacks those kind of skills. And so, yeah, he crashed and burned with Lightman very quickly. And so I didn't think he was a particularly good challenge. So I was a little disappointed. And then on the whole Lightman Foster side, you had movement in direction of their relationship, which actually was, instead of good, was actually depressing because it was the last episode. Like, she was all upset because the person who got killed was this woman that she had been counseling since she was a little girl, so she was very emotionally raw, and so they had to have a couple of really good scenes together. And then at the very end, Emily, the daughter, was pretty much straight up asked Lightman, she's like, are you in love with Jillian? And he tries to cover it, and she goes, no, are you in love with her? And he goes, yes, I am. And she's like, well, what are you going to do about it? And he's like, I'm not sure. And fade to black. I was like, are you kidding me? Like, that's it had one other scene, which doesn't count because it has nothing to do with what I care about. But that was almost the last scene. And I wanted to shoot my television because that's what I've been waiting for. And they kind of give it to us. And then it's over. And we don't get to see any. There's no resolution. So I really felt disappointed, sad, and all that about that finale. All right, let's be up. Oh, my next show may not bring me up, but I'll let you guys talk about it. The next show is Chuck, and it's the whole resolution to the spy Sarah and spy mom storyline. What do you guys think?
You know, this was originally supposed to be the season finale and possible series
finale. That's what it felt like.
They picked it up for four more episodes, which scares me because the last time they got the bonus episodes,
they sucked.
They weren't good.
This felt like a finale.
Yeah, it was supposed to. It was supposed to because this was, originally written. I don't know. It wasn't awful, but it wasn't fantastic. It's just the show got too routine.
Right.
I mean,
The thing is, it was just kind of there. It was very rote. I mean, and Ian, it amazed me because, I mean, here they have this episode that's got Timothy Dalton all over it, and I love Timothy Dalton. And when I can be watching Timothy Dalton for an entire episode and still come away going meh from the episode, this is really an indication that they're doing it wrong.
They didn't.
Because everything about it was just so boring.
They didn't use him well. And
no,
it's
at
one
all.
Of those things where the plan was too linear and everything mm-hmm. pretty much goes the way it's supposed to go,
right.
Which doesn't make for compelling drama.
No, yeah. Everything was incredibly predictable, incredibly rote, just boring. It's like, we've seen all this before. Nothing happened that was surprising. And it's like, you could have just ticked off the moments where everything was going to happen. And sure enough, it happens exactly like that. And so it's like play by play from beginning to end. And by the time it was over, it was like, well, that was an hour of my life.
Well, if it's only got
the next thing.
If it's only got four more episodes, I'll watch those four just for completism's sake.
Yeah. But it really was big nothing, and it won't be anything to me if that's the end of Chuck. If they never produce another episode of it again, I will not feel like I'm missing anything.
Yeah, I said that a while ago. And I feel like Chuck needs to end. It really does. Because I feel like the writers
They're tired.
They're tired. Yeah. They have nothing else. There's nothing else left in the tank. That's
I really didn't like them turning Awesome into the stereotypical, oh, I've got a baby coming. What do I... Come on. See, he's an MD.
Oh, that's true. He is a doctor.
He's an MD. I don't buy that for a second, that he's just going to completely fall apart because it's his kid coming. Yeah. It's just, that was definitely not awesome.
That's not awesome. Nice. All right. Anybody else? Chuck, comment? That it? All right. I just choose not to speak about it. White Collar was... this is the second episode of the season. And I have to say, this, considering how good last week's episode was, it was out of the park. This week's episode was a little disappointing because this one felt by the numbers for me. It was like, okay, there's a diplomat who wants to... get their team to go in and solve this case. Yeah, obviously, it's something personal, because why did he pick them specifically? Because of Caffrey, blah, blah, blah. And so everything really felt very much like a, you know, machine chugging along. And there weren't that many surprises in this episode. So, and then...
There were some great one-liners.
There were. I mean, I did like that, but the embassy people acted exactly the way I thought they were going to. There was nothing fantastic about it, and the guy, like, I looked at my clock, I was like, oh, we're at the halfway mark, obviously something's gonna go wrong, you know. It's like everything felt exactly to the pace. You disagree?
It doesn't measure up to last week's episode. I thought the little hints about Caffrey's past were interesting.
Oh, about the dad, about his dad issues?
Yeah, because finding out, you know, what is the truth. I mean, with Caffrey, you always have the, you know, how do I know he's lying? His lips are moving.
Yes. I was sure he was lying about almost every story he said about his dad, except for when he was talking to Mozzie.
Mm-hmm.
So when he was talking to Mozzie, I got the impression that he was possibly adopted. Like, I wasn't sure.
I don't think... Somehow, it seems like this is setting up something we're going to see later on.
Well, I get the impression, no matter how you look at it, he never really knew his father.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely...
Yeah, so... I'm not... Every story he told about his father to Peter was totally bogus or a lie or something. So he told like 3 or 4 different versions.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, like you said, Caffrey lies a lot. Except for usually to his close friends, where he tells you, generally speaking, the truth. but the case, I thought, was blah. It wasn't... They didn't get to use the whole team, really. Oh, wait. Oh, no, that was last week. Because I was like, oh, they used the team as a... Episode. Yeah, the flashback episode. I was like, they used the model. And I was like, oh, wait, that was last week. Yeah, this week they didn't get to use the full team. We never did see the wife. It was just, I didn't care about the kid or the father. So them being reunited didn't do anything for me. So, yeah, it was all right.
But I think it's a setup for something coming.
I mean, and the show's still great. I'm not saying that it's just it happens to be one that was mediocre out of a really, because especially since last week was just so good. So I was kind of expecting this one to be as good. And, you know, you can't necessarily keep that quality going all the time. All right. Next, we want to talk about V. Go.
I just have a question. Okay, the white dude with the dark hair and the bad attitude.
The son?
No, the older guy, the fifth columnist.
Oh, the Irish, is he Scottish, Irish, something?
He's some kind
he's
of...
He's Irish, I think.
British.
No, he's actually supposed to be Israeli.
Oh, is no, that, no, 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 no,
the
no.
new guy?
No, not the Mossad guy. He's talking about the guy that's already on the team, that's been on the team all season.
Oh, the one who's... Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, I think he's supposed to be, like, British.
He's supposed to be, yeah. I think he's supposed to be IRA. I think that's what it is.
Have they just dropped the fact that he's got this deal with, why can't I think of her name? With Marina Bukharin?
With Anna? He has a deal with her?
Yeah.
Have a deal with her?
He's got a deal with the V's from the end of last season.
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah.
Well, that was last year, and they didn't talk about it, so I guess they dropped it. Because I don't remember that at all.
Remember, I mean, basically the...
What I remember is that he is going to betray them.
Yes.
That I remember, but I don't remember why or what it's connected to.
I'm just wondering, have they dropped that thread?
Apparently, because they haven't
seen it in so long.
Yeah, and they haven't done any flashbacks. Plus now, why would she need him? Because she's got Ryan.
She's got Ryan, and then Is it Tyler? Is Tyler?
Well, Tyler's not really betraying anybody.
No, he's just a twit.
He's just too stupid to live.
Yes. Someone needs to put him out of his misery. Someone needs to put him out of our misery. Thank you.
Even better, I know the whole vandalizing the church, you know, with him and
can we just pause and say how amazing Jane Badler looks after all these years?
Oh, Diana!
Wow! And I love.
And she took a big chunk out of that dude's throat.
Oh my god, that was awesome!
The only thing is that I don't like the way the aliens look. You know what I mean? To me, it's just. It just doesn't work for me, you know what I mean? With those big teeth and the way that they come out and go back into the skin. Come on.
That's just the women, though.
Well, it's completely physically impossible, but then everything about this is just lost any connection with reality whatsoever. I mean, Jane Badler, to begin with, I mean, she's living down in what, the ship's bilge, and she's wandering around in an evening gown with six-inch... you're gonna have to delete that.
But
sorry.
Allison, but, she looks fabulous.
Oh my god! I mean, what kind of an outfit is that? What is she doing down there?
She does look fabulous, though. She's been locked in the London Tower for 15 years.
Yeah, with her personal tailor.
Apparently.
Yes, but I like the fact that the guy who was a cardinal or whatever was really a V-spy and has been converted. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. And I like the fact that Anna found that picture or the painting to be very disturbing. Like, but it's weird because I was like, really,
the one of hell?
Yeah. Because I was like, why do you find that disturbing? Or was that just conversation? Like, I couldn't figure out what her motivation was behind that.
Here's one of the things that's kind of bugging me about this arc. I mean, you got me watching the show because I wasn't, you know, last season. Why is she so naive to think that the human soul is something that is...
tangible.
Something that's biomechanical.
Right.
I mean, this is as silly as explaining away the force of midichlorians.
I know.
And doing all these scientific experiments to try to extract the soul.
Well, my thing is, if she wastes her time doing that, then she's not doing something else. So I'm like, all right, go for it. But I agree. I think that's the stupidest story subplot that they've had in a really long time.
I mean, if it was a philosophical argument about how to break somebody, the human spirit, that's one thing. But torturing people to try to extract the soul... That's just silly.
I know.
It's like the V's real Achilles heel is that they lack a sense of metaphor. This is how they will be destroyed.
Oh.
That's awesome.
It's all about the metaphor.
Great. Wow. That's great. I think, and what's weird, what is up with the sexual tension between... Priest Jack and
that's kind of been there.
It has been there, but I thought it was extremely blatant this week.
Hey, they're two good-looking blonde white people. We must procreate.
I was like, you know, he's got that whole priest collar thing going on, right? Because there was a lot of caressing going on, and there was a lot of crying on people's shoulders and patting and holding hands and foreheads touching, and I was like, are you guys about to make out right now?
It could be the new Richard Chamberlain.
I actually did think that. I was like, are they, because
the thorn bees.
Well, the thing that tripped me out is I was kind of going, is ABC going to allow them to have a priest have an affair with this woman?
Been there, done that.
It has, but it hasn't been done recently. And sometimes, you know, network's a little sketchy about that.
It seems like he's not too long for the collar.
That's true. That's a very good point. Yeah. That's a very good point.
Again, as somebody relatively new to the show, I watched the last couple episodes of season one as well as the pilot, and now I'm caught up in season two. It seems too small in scope. Anna's plan seemed too limited. At least in the old series, as cheesy as it was about military campaigns and, you know, resistance fighters and this. And this, it just seems like, okay, this is the target of the week. It seems like it's become too much of a routine procedural.
Well, I think they do have ongoing plots because they've been talking about their entire plan has been breeding and they've been doing it for 20 or 30 years. They've been laying the groundwork for them to be able to breed with humans. And I have to say, the breeding aspect is a little more, I don't know if that's more palatable or less palatable than the old scheme, which was just to eat everyone. Like, in the old V, they basically just wanted to eat the people. They were going to put them, freeze them, march them up to their ship, freeze them, and then have them for dinner later. This is more, they're trying to genetically alter humans, females in particular, so that they could breed with the Vs, which is a different, it's a different plan, and it has a longer scope. Like, it's going to take longer to accomplish. And you need their cooperation.
But it just seems that this Take Two lacks immediacy in terms of what's going on. I mean, yes, we know the V's are really bad, and now Chad's on the right team. But it still seems like, I don't know, it seems a lot like spinning gears. Like,
whoa. Yeah, there's no sense of urgency.
Thank you.
At all. Well, I understand you're talking about urgency, but I actually like the plot. I like where they're going with their own, like, what the, other than the soul thing, I really like everything else. The only thing that I think that they're missing out on, because I understand that they don't want to work with the Mossad version of the Fifth Column, who are just blowing people up and hanging people upside down, like all that stuff. I get why they don't want to use them, but I actually think that the other guys have an advantage in that they have larger numbers. Like, their cell...
In other words, more than five?
Yeah. I'm like, the people that we're watching...
I mean, really, when you consider that the Fifth Column actually involved... The number refers to how many members they have. you know, it's not very terrifying, really.
Well, that's not what it's supposed to refer to. Fifth Column
is
old... I
know, but it does. I mean, it's like these guys in a basement. That's what the revolution consists of.
And that's the thing, is they need to expand it. And I think using, Eli? Using Eli and his connection, because he has basically cells throughout the entire world, which is what you're supposed to have.
But
yeah,
I'm just saying that I wish they had, it still feels so small until this recent episode. I don't know. If I remember correctly, they had their episode order reduced too for season two.
Oh, I don't know. I hadn't heard about that.
So, you know, it doesn't, and the ratings haven't been fantastic.
Well, the ratings have, I know that, and I'm sure that yet another Y shows will be canceled, and I will be crying in my tea later.
Although, Mark Singer is coming back for a guest spot.
And that will make me happy.
Ooh.
The Beastmaster himself.
All right, so I'm still enjoying V. I still want it to do well. I have the mild problem with the soul thing, which I hope does not come to any kind of strange fruition. If they do, I think that might be the nail. But everything else I really like, and I really want Tyler to fall off a bridge
or something. Maybe Jane Badler could eat him.
There you go. Tune in for that episode especially.
Grandma, what big teeth
bag
you
of
have.
Popcorn at the ready. Yeah.
All right, let's move on to Big Bang Theory. Anyone?
Well,
I liked it. Not as good as last week, but pretty funny. I mean, still, you know, I think they're finally getting the groove back with Kaley Cuoco being sick or being injured for a while. I thought last week was fantastic, but I thought this was still a pretty funny episode. It did remind me of anybody who watches, ever watched that, the short-lived show Party Down. Had an episode where the characters basically took a script that one of the characters had written, and they decided to act it out. And in this episode... Sheldon wants to, he thinks that he has to be an actor because he's horrible as a teacher, right?
Right.
So he decides to get acting lessons from Penny, which means, of course, she's kind of in charge, but not really. And although I think Party Down was funnier, I still thought it was pretty funny. Like, I still, because of course, the script that he wrote is a fanfic thing about him being, is it like Spock and the crew of the Enterprise want to take him away because he's so smart to the 23rd century.
Right.
Like, it was still funny. The other thing, which is Raj dreaming about
Bernadette.
Yeah, Bernadette. Like, I liked the Bollywood number at the end. I was like, that's kind of cool they did that. But the rest of it felt a little repetitive. I was like, yes, I get it. It's a dream, you know. But still, but the main thing, which is Penny and Sheldon, you know, totally funny. I like that. So, yeah.
And it was nice to have the role reversal where she had came to him to have him teach her. Now he has to come to her. So I like sort of that role reversal between the two.
Except
in fact, he even says something like, she says some quick little line, and he's like, "Hey, I who'd have thought? I think you actually taught me something, you know." I thought it was funny.
I like the fact that she then had to call his mother at the end. It's like, "I think I broke your son."
Oh yeah,
that was great.
Yeah, I like that too. I agree.
I'm wondering if they're going to have the cojones to actually have Raj make a play for Bernadette for real.
I think that his in every fantasy version, Wallowitz is dead. So unless they kill Wallowitz, I can't see him doing it. Also,
right, and also Bernadette has to come on to him. That's part of the fantasy too.
Right. So yeah. I'd seriously doubt it.
If anything, it would actually be funnier if Raj got a girlfriend that basically is a clone of Bernadette. And Wallowitz were like, what's with this? Like, that might be kind of funny, you know?
Oh, that's a good idea. I like it. You should totally call CBS.
let Chuck Lorre know.
Yeah, that's a very good idea. I like
he's
it.
He's got his hands full with the Sheen situation.
Oh, right.
That's true.
I heard that they're reducing the order of that show.
They definitely are.
And they're increasing the order of Nick and Molly, something Mike and Molly. Whatever that show is. Yeah, that got extra episodes to cover the 2.5 Men, which might actually get canceled now.
I haven't
heard. Been on forever.
I'm hoping.
Fingers
crossed.
They just I mean, everybody just re-upped. He's getting like huge fatty paycheck for.
One can hope.
I just wondered what does he have on them.
I don't know.
I mean, naked pictures of what executive and what barnyard
animal. Very good point.
I have no idea, but I want him to go away. That's all I ask. All right.
Back to Big Bang. The other thing is when Leonard made the reference to Sci-Fi's new name.
Oh! Good. I did like that. Yeah.
Siffy? Oh, brilliant.
Siffy? What is Siffy? Yeah, that was good.
Brilliant.
To stick sci-fi, come on, you know?
Yes, that did make me laugh. And I was like, only a sci-fi geek would get that joke.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, yes, I did appreciate that.
They know who their target audience is.
All right, next thing, 30 Rock. Go. She just laughed.
Once again, last week, it was funny. I missed 30 Rock's one of those shows that, like, all my friends on Facebook seem to watch the moment it airs. And so last week's episode of Facebook, friends of mine were like already quoting it and everything. And I think it was called like, is it Operation Cowboy something? It's a great title. So that episode was so hyped. And yet I have to say, I actually thought it was pretty funny. I actually thought it was a really good episode. This episode, still funny, you know, which is that basically Liz has to cover for Jack's what's her name?
Elizabeth Banks is the actress's name.
She's right, now Miss Donahue, so that's all that matters.
Donahue, well, I forgot her name. Well, anyways, he's got a cover for her because she's pregnant,
right?
And which is a nice thing where they're like, "Oh, I talked to Michael Kors and convinced him to make wizards the new hot clothes for women." Wizard clothes. But it was still funny. But I mean, once again, I don't think it was as good as last week, which I thought really knocked it out of the park. But there's still some good moments. I actually liked Jenna and Tracy, how they all like they get the free Mac Airs and the cool watches, and then they are trying to split this cheap T-shirt from Cable Town. That was it was all pretty good, funny episode.
I liked it, except of course, like I said, my enjoyment of the episode is directly proportional to how much time Liz and Jack spend together in a room. And this one, they had like, what, two scenes? They had a couple of scenes. But not too many.
Although that actress, is it Christina Chow? The one who's supposed to be the competition where they're like, they don't know what ethnicity
is. Oh, that was great.
That was brilliant.
That was pretty good, man. Like, I thought that was pretty funny.
That was great, mainly because they were like, they would say something, go, "That's not racist because I don't actually know what she is." Like, I was kind of going, I think that still is racist, you know.
I agree. I thought it was pretty funny. Good stuff.
Yeah, she was, and she was great with her interview and trying to usurp and trying to like. The photograph session. Oh my god!
Photograph session, and also I liked how Liz Lemon kept trying to get everybody to go with her to the new popcorn restaurant or whatever. Because she's like, "I've heard it's better to go in groups," so she keeps trying to invite people to like go with her. But perhaps we'll meet at Manhattan. You know, we'll do the interview at the popcorn. No, we'll do it at the your place or whatever. Like, it's pretty good.
And then I like the fact that, oh, the end of the episode ends with them looking over at the pictures, and Jack is like, is that real? Like, right. You just hear just comments. All that was all pretty good. And, oh, and he was like, whose hands are those? When they had the hands are holding her breasts. Oh,
that was Tracy asking, whose hands are those?
Right.
Well, oh, anyway, who does she say it is? I forgot.
I don't think she says who it is.
No, she does. She did.
I can't remember.
It's something like the pizza guy or something like that. It's not a person's name. It's more like person's job. But yeah, it's pretty funny.
Yeah, all that was... I forgot about the photo session because that was brilliant. All right, so yes, thumbs up, 30 Rock. Still enjoying it. Next up is Vampire Diaries.
Ooh. Another intense episode, you know, but excellent.
Oh, man, what is going on with Damon? He is like... I can't figure out where he's going with his existential crisis.
I think
he
can't figure out where he's going with his
existential crisis. Well, yeah, but say that's the thing.
Yeah. So, what do you guys think?
I thought it was a good episode. I was really frustrated, and you know, we could take a go around the podcast here, the group. I don't really find werewolves very interesting. And so in general, not just Vampire Diaries, just in general, I don't find werewolves interesting. And so you've got poor Caroline being tortured, who's a character I like, by these basically white trash. Like, they're literally in a trailer. Like, I mean, you can't be more like over the top with your how literal like these characters were. But so she's being tortured by this new evil werewolf guy. My only regret was I found it not satisfying that they didn't kill enough of the werewolves off. Because clearly the werewolf story is a B story to the story of Elena and Klaus and clearly that's the main story. So the werewolf is really just, you know, it's just the back and forth. But I really don't like the werewolves. So I was really hoping that when the witch guy comes to like does the brain thing, I was hoping he'd explode their brains or something. I really like Caroline. So if you take a character I like and you basically, you know, pull a hostile on her and you torture her, like, you know, I really want some redemption. I really want some satisfaction, vengeance. So
don't
I was
worry.
Like, that's it. That's, you know.
Don't worry about it. I'm sure he will be dead in a couple of episodes. It'll be fine.
So you think that guy's not going to last the season?
He's not going to... Not the season, definitely.
No. Oh, the bad guy who tortured Caroline?
Yeah.
Oh,
right, because basically we have Jules, who's the werewolf we've met for a few episodes.
Yeah, I like...
This guy.
Yeah, I like her. She's interesting, but this guy's too...
I'm fine with her.
Yeah, this guy's too one-dimensional, at least so far. And he's not going to be long for this world. I don't think you have to worry about it.
No. So. No, he's got, I mean, after, and Jules, I don't think is long for this world.
Yeah, I don't think any of the vampire or werewolves that you've seen, because mainly what's going to be troublesome is if all those werewolves are in town during a full moon, the vampires need to be somewhere else. But other than that, it's open season for the, I think that what Damon should do to get some of his aggression that he apparently has locked up is he just needs to go werewolf hunting, you know?
Have they set us up for how long? Because remember, the last two episodes, they've been like, you know, you're crazy, don't try to go against us, it's not a full moon tonight. Have they told us when the full moon is coming? Like, is it next week? Or
We don't know. It's usually like every four episodes. It's like you have to assume like every episode is like a week.
Okay. So maybe in two more episodes, maybe?
Yeah, something like that. We'll get another full moon, and then the vampires need to be afraid. Because they have way too many werewolves in town right now. I personally think that if Damon and Stefan have any other vamp friends, they need to call in a posse. You need to posse up right about now.
That's true. I agree.
Now, what I want to know is what are they going to do with Matt? Because they got to do something with him, because he's just like...
He is the only person who doesn't know the big secret.
Oh, except for Aunt Jenna.
Well, she doesn't count.
Well, yeah,
she's
the aunt
not,
doesn't know either.
Yeah, she doesn't count because she's not part of the crew. So I don't care. That's like Buffy's mom not knowing. It's okay. You don't need her to know. But everyone else in town knows about vampires.
It took me so long to figure out when Aunt Jenna found out that Uncle John is really Papa John. Right. And she said, okay, let me get this straight. You're my sister's husband's brother's daughter. And I'm like, say what?
Yeah, she didn't quite say it like that. She was
she said it exactly like that.
No, but she was like, the reason that this is awkward is because she wasn't talking to Elena. She was talking to her new boyfriend.
No, she was talking to Alaric.
Alaric, and she was like, so she was like, Elena is actually the daughter of my sister's husband and your ex-wife's.
Oh, right.
The relationship was so bizarre.
Yeah,
it is. Like, I am my own grandpa. But, yeah, that was all. I think the episode was, I don't have as much problem with werewolves as Peter does, but I understand that these characters are very one-dimensional and cardboard at the moment, and I don't expect them to last that long. And the most interesting thing was John coming back, because I realized once he showed up how much I hate him.
Everybody hates him in the town, you know?
Man.
And of course, what's his true agenda?
Well, apparently he's working for Catherine.
Well, he's working for, for Isabel.
Isabel.
Who was working for Catherine?
Oh, well, yes, that's true. But I mean, like, yes, he's on that side.
He's on Team Catherine, and that's all I need to know. And that piece of jewelry that he gives Elena, talking about it belonging to your real mom, I was like, don't put it on.
Yeah.
Like, that was all I was thinking. I was like, do not put that on. I don't know what it does, but it can't be good.
It can't be good.
And she would be stupid to put it on. And I'm like, come on, Elena, don't do it. Don't trust him.
I thought it was... Wait, actually, I got to say, though, because I started this podcast talking about how I don't have cable and I use a digital antenna. However, one of the downsides to saving the money from not paying for cable is that the CW and CBS sometimes, like, totally conk out on me. So this is the second week that I've had to download Vampire Diaries from iTunes. So can anybody tell me could they never have the trailer? What's next week? Did they show what it is?
Basically, the werewolves' revenge. They come hunting for the vamps.
Oh, great. More werewolves. So it must be that maybe next week's the full moon. Does it show them actually as wolves?
No, it just shows them as white trash.
You know, and as far as me, I think I'm kind of in between, like, sort of Peter and Lydia with the werewolves, because I really don't care about it. But the one thing that I thought was nice in this episode, because you would think, like, okay, when it's not the full moon, the vamps can come and get them. But it shows that they do have other things up their sleeves. So even when it's not a full moon, that they can do things to the vampires. And at least that aspect I liked of it.
So right, that aspect, and also the fact that the whole thing about werewolves traditionally in other movies, stories, television shows, is wolves are all about the pack. So it doesn't surprise me that at the end, when Damon and Stefan show up, there's suddenly a whole bunch of wolves. Even though technically they're not wolves, they've got all their weapons. Like, that makes sense. I'm like, oh, okay, that's how they're making up for it, you know?
Well, I wanted Ronnie, continue. You didn't really get to say anything, so go ahead.
Oh, no, and that's what I was saying, but I liked the fact that there were different things that they could use against the vampires to have some kind of power in between the full moon.
Right.
So, I mean, to show that aspect of it, I thought was really good. And also because then it brought up because in one sense I didn't like what he was doing to Caroline, and that he would keep going over and over again. I just wanted to get up and slap him.
Well, that's why I said the episode was really hard to watch.
Yeah, it was. I just don't want to, Caroline is such a, I mean, there's something about her, she's almost, I have to say, most, all shows on the CW and whatever, to me, always owe a big debt to Joss Whedon, and I have to say, I actually think Vampire Diaries is one of the few shows where they've taken a character like Caroline, and I actually think she is an improvement, because I would kind of compare her on, remember on Buffy, or Buffy Angel, there was that, is it Harmony?
Yes,
that's
Harmony. Yeah.
And she was kind of the ditzy vampire also. But actually, I like Caroline a lot more.
Well, it's because she's not really ditzy, really.
She's not ditzy.
But she started off ditzy.
But she kind of starts off ditzy.
Yeah,
I would say she started off like a Harmony 2.0, but she's become better than that.
Well, she kind of started off as like a Cordelia.
Right. She was more Cordelia.
I can see your Cordelia. I can see your...
Well, because her whole thing is she was pretending to be dumb to fit in, but she's really not dumb. Harmony was really dumb.
Yes, that's true. Harmony is just kind of dumb. All right. I really like, I think Caroline is, Caroline kind of just like on on print, which we'll get to in a second. Astrid is kind of a fan favorite. I think Caroline is the same, because the show is never really about Caroline, not really. I mean, but she's just, I don't know, she's just one of those, I just really like that character, you know, and everything.
I thought that the core of the episode was the Caroline-Tyler relationship. And when she calls him out at the end and says, I may have lied to you, but you sat there and watched me try to kill
him. Yeah, dude, the moment he hesitates at the cage, I'm like, it's over, man. I'll be like, okay, it takes you all to get there. You got to assess what's going on. But once he's in there and she's like, open the cage. And he just stands there. I was like, it's over. I was like, forget you, man. Like, you did not step up.
Yeah, and it wasn't even just that. Not only did and the thing is, she actually wasn't mad about him not opening the cage because he eventually did it. She was angry because when the fight happens outside and she's got a gun to the back of her head, he won't look at her. He didn't side with them, and he won't look at her, and he was willing to let her be killed. And
which leads to the thing you don't like, which is the end.
Well, yeah, him switching sides is because I was just getting to where I liked Tyler, and that's all. I know you don't like him, but I was liking him, and I was like, Tyler is growing as a person. He's becoming three-dimensional. I'm starting to like him, and I understood his conflict in this episode, and that he couldn't tell who the heck was telling him the truth because everyone was lying.
Well, and true, he doesn't know who killed. He still wants to know exactly what happened with his uncle.
Right.
I kind of understand what you're saying.
Right, and so all of that was all well and good, and I understood his conflict, and I understood his hesitation at the cage. I get why he still didn't necessarily fight at the end, but I also get why Caroline was mad. Like, everything he did for this whole episode, I thought was excusable for what was going on in his head. What I don't like is at the very end, he then figures, okay, I'll side. Because my whole thing from that whole experience that I had, if I had been Tyler, I would have been like, I'm backing away from everybody.
I would have been fine.
Right. I would have just backed away from everyone because the werewolves were out of control and dangerous and torturing people. And no, I just like, I can't get on board with that. And then the vampires were lying to me too. And one of them could have killed my uncle. And I don't know which one it was. I can't hang with you guys either. I would have just backed away and been on my own and tried to figure it out on my own other than dealing with these crazy people. And instead, he sides with the werewolves, who are obviously unstable and obviously very, very violent. And
yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I just don't get, like, we haven't even seen, it's not even like that Jules is his long-lost family member cousin or something. It's like, right. They haven't even given him, like, what they could have done was, if there was a moment where Tyler was confused about his werewolfness, and maybe Jules comes in and is like, well, look, there's things I can teach you, and I will teach you this, and then something were to happen, then I could kind of go, okay.
Well, she said that. She's like, here are some things I can teach you about
your... you're right. She said it, but she didn't really teach him anything. I mean, what did she really teach him?
Well, yeah, because it's not a full moon. So.
Oh, well, that's true. But, I mean, I guess to me, if he saw a value in that, maybe. But yeah, I mean, to me, I don't know how he just doesn't see them as crazy psychopaths. I mean,
that's how I saw them.
They are crazy psychopaths, but at the same time, they went through... they're having the exact same experience that he's having, and he doesn't understand it, and he's terrified about his changes. And so, I mean, no other group can explain to him exactly what's happening to him. I mean, you know, so even though he doesn't know them that well, it's like, this is the group that can tell me, I mean, help me know what I am.
And so, that's just to a certain degree, I can understand what he's going through, but the point where, in the preview, they showed him very obviously going up against the vamps. But I also get the fact that he's like, okay, you guys killed my uncle. So I kind of get that, but it's still like, nah, he's not a bad guy. I might be done with Tyler at this point. So.
Well, also, you know, the other thing that's tricky too is that obviously for the writers of the show, it's called The Vampire Diaries. It's not The Werewolf Diaries. It's
right.
Or The Being Human Diaries or whatever. I mean, like, so clearly... They clearly know that the viewers are usually going to be somewhat sided with the vampires, even if we might go, oh, Damon's going nuts again. So, I mean, it's just tricky for us, I think, as viewers to be like, yeah, man, I'm with Team Tyler and the werewolves. Like, I mean, that's, you really got to, like, do a lot to get, I think, any of us to suddenly side with them.
Right.
You know?
The question I'd like answered is, why is it so important that Tyler go with the other werewolves? And who's calling the shots?
Well, I couldn't tell whether or not it's just they want all the werewolves as a pack, want all werewolves together.
It seems like it's something more than
And that's the thing, is Peter was pointing out the fact that all the werewolves that we've seen other than Tyler have all been, like, white trash. But then I pointed out, I was like, well, Tyler and his family are millionaires. They're part of the founding families. They have lots of money. And then Peter said?
Well, that's what I said. Well, maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's not only a political connection, but the fact that, yeah, he's totally rich. Maybe that's what they were using in a way. Maybe that's what the connection with the uncle was before, but now he's gone. So they're like, okay, well, we've got the golden goose right here because Tyler has all that money.
Right.
So to me, that makes sense I could be wrong, but I mean, from what we've seen, you know, I brought this up yesterday with Livia that, like, I come down hard on Supernatural for a lot of times. I feel like, you know, whether it's deliberate or not, I always think they're women characters I don't usually think are that well written, and I always think it's weird that I don't know why every time you have pretty much any character that's a black, especially black male on Supernatural, is usually either a villain or is at least kind of hostile. But I have to admit, maybe it's just because I like Vampire Diaries more that I give them more. Because why are all the witches black? What's the deal with that? Why like, I don't know what that is. And now the werewolves are pretty much white trash, except for, like you said, Tyler.
Well, one interesting thing on Vampire Diaries is, like, for each of the groups, they have, like, an older set and then the, you know, set that are in the town now. The older set have come in at different points to interact with, like, the new set. And so I thought it was interesting with the vampires, with the witches, and with the werewolves. There's always this sort of
generational thing, yeah.
Yes.
But on that note, we need to close up Vampire Diaries because we'll apparently talk about it for the entire podcast.
Oh my gosh,
that's awesome. I wish Vampire Diaries was like The Daily Show, which was on 5 days a week.
I don't know, it's kind of intense, but the one thing, because it was such an intense episode, I love that they ended with when Stefan brought, you know, both of the women over.
Oh, right.
A party.
Yeah.
That was very heartwarming, I have to admit.
Yeah.
You mean the slumber party.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. But actually, wait, wasn't the last shot of Vampire Diaries, wasn't it Sark talking to Catherine?
Yes. Yeah.
That was the big ending, which was, I've got a plan to get you out of here. Ta-da! The Vampire Diaries, or whatever.
Hold on.
You're right.
Tom,
we can stop talking because we can talk about this forever.
Really quick.
I just remembered a quick news item. They have shelved plans for a Vampire Diaries companion series, and put Kevin Williamson on another CW pilot that they weren't happy with the direction of.
Wait, that's right. I had heard this, and I don't remember what the other pilot is. Do you?
It's escaping me now too, but.
Oh, we'll find out, and we'll put it on the news next week. All right, next show that I want to talk about is Archer. We didn't really talk about the premiere of season 2 last week, but any comments about this week?
This week was fantastic. I just love Archer because it makes me laugh. You know what I mean? Deep belly laughs at things that I shouldn't be laughing at, you know?
Well, there's a lot of stuff sometimes I feel like I shouldn't be seeing the stuff that's on Archer. Like, when he was breaking into the safe and cutting the wires, and then he closes the drawer and something starts vibrating. At first I thought it was the phone. I was like, why is he afraid to touch his mom's phone? And then I realized that it was his mom's vibrator. And then I was like, oh my God, they did not just go there. And he's like, I'm going to need therapy forever. And I was kind of going, dude, you need therapy now.
Yeah, don't wait. Please don't wait. Is it Pam who came back from Jamaica?
Yeah, she was a Rasta and she was smoking weed the entire episode.
That was awesome as well, you know?
And then she kept calling everybody racist because they didn't want to smoke weed with her. And I was like, I don't think that's racist.
Yeah, that doesn't qualify. I'm sorry.
And then the takeover for the company, somebody had to sleep with somebody else. And what's her name?
Lana,
to get the promotion, she had to sleep with that guy. And she was like, she's like, well, I guess for a promotion. I've done it in the line of duty, so I guess I could do it for a promotion. And it was just like all the discussion was just crazy. And then they decide to put the chip in that dude's brain. I was just like, oh my God, this is crazy. Everything, And then once they finish the surgery, he's just like, can I have the lettuce? What? He's like, the lettuce is my brother.
Oh, I don't know how the writers, I mean, how they come up with this stuff. I just don't understand, you know?
His dysfunctional relationship with his mother is very frightening. And then last week's episode, there was she was like 14 or 15 year old girl that kept showing up naked in front of Archer because she wanted to sleep with him. And literally, he kept finding himself in ridiculously compromised positions where either she was naked or he was naked, and people kept running into them. Like, and he kept denying. He's like, I'm not sleeping with her. She's a nympho. And nobody would believe him. But then, and then they were caught in the snow, and he had to make sure she didn't get frostbite on her breasts. That was,
oh my God.
Just like everything about that show is not, one, it's not for children.
Definitely not for children.
Two, it disturbs even me on occasion. So, thumbs up.
I didn't even know Archer was back. So I guess I'm two episodes behind. I really like that show.
Oh yeah, it's great.
Get caught up.
Yes. All right. I mean, there's not that much to talk about the show other than it's funny. Enjoy it. Have fun. Next, I want to talk about Fringe.
Ooh, doggy.
I thought it was a great episode. I thought that they did a terrific job this week. Even though it was not specifically, you know, an arc episode, you could say, well, it's one of the standalone things. I think they still had things that played into the overall arc in it. And I thought that it was interesting overall. I thought that it continued the storyline and pushed more forward. So I enjoyed it. And I especially liked the guy who they had who was one of the kids from Walter's program.
Oh, he was good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that he did a spectacular job, especially considering that I suffer from migraines. It's like I could feel his pain. It's you know, when he was going through the room and suffering from listening to people's minds and, you know, getting headaches from that. But I think looking at Walter and getting this sense of guilt from him, getting this feeling of this recurrent conscience from what he's done, from, you know, the person who he once was when he used these kids in these experiments, and having
and
this
person that he's actually kind of trying to be again, which is true.
Yeah, well, he's trying to reawaken that part of his brain that he thinks will help him to combat Walternet. And unfortunately, that part of him that is more intelligent is also potentially more dangerous. More
yeah, ruthless. He's very ruthless. Yeah.
Yeah.
It seems like we're seeing flashes of that in him, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely. Definitely. It's like the two are inextricably linked, which is rather unfortunate. But, you know, you get that bit. When Walter looks at this young man and sees the results of what he's done, you can see that look of conscious stricken agony in his face that, you know, would be missing if he were still the same person. And that's kind of, I think, what holds him back from being that person now.
The one thing I will have to say, I loved most, like 90% of this episode I thought was really, really good. The one thing that I was actually a little disappointed in is the bowling alley guy who I thought we were done with. I was like, I hated that character. And then they bring him back and he's like more important. I was like, you've got to be kidding me.
Well, it's funny. Julia was afraid that he was going to become sinister and kill Nina. She's like, wait, is he going to like kill Nina? Because remember, he's like, so you figure that out, huh? Like, turn around. He's dun, dun, dun. But actually, I don't mind that character like you do. But I was surprised they brought him back.
I thought that was a bad choice just because he wasn't that interesting the first time around. So why bring him back
again?
I think they are hinting that he's more than he seems to be.
Well, yeah, everybody.
It's not just, you know, some guy who has this, you know, mystic Zen connection. He actually has a link to something more profound and more powerful. Maybe he is one of these original people.
Right, because the implication is he wrote the book, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. he wrote all of them.
Wrote all of them, right. Yeah. Uh-huh. So, but I thought it was, you know, really good. It didn't quite deal with, the one thing I didn't like in last week's episode was making Peter, because of the weapon thing, you're kind of making him a little rogue and a little dark, and I was like, I don't know if I really need that. But they didn't deal with that at all in this episode. He was pretty much just the same Peter that we know. So I was right. like, all right.
I had to set that aside.
But that was good. I'm really surprised at how much, even though I've always been okay with Anna Torv, like I know Libya was not a fan of hers, especially in the first couple seasons.
Neither was
I. But I gotta say, I really like the Olivia character. I really feel bad for her. Like, I don't know what it is, but it just, I don't know. I think it works.
They're actually engaging her heart now, so that's pretty much what it is. But you had a comment?
Yeah, one of the things I didn't like about the bowling alley guy is, again, they kind of hit over the head that Peter still has feelings for faux Olivia.
Right.
And that was, especially if that's going to play off big time later on, that would have been best done as a grace note instead of a, just in case you're paying attention, let us club you over the head.
They literally spelled it out.
Right. On a piece of paper.
On a piece of paper.
A note that says he still has feelings.
He still has feelings for her.
See, if they had just kept it as subtle as the coffee order, which was brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant. And then the way they called it back was also good. But again, it's like they don't trust the audit. I mean, face it, shows like Fringe, that you're not catering to Joe and Jane six pack. These are your more intelligent viewers. I mean,
right.
Just to follow where Fox has hidden the show this week, you know, takes more than a little bit of you know, common sense. So when they kind of pander to us like that, I feel like, come on, trust us. We've got it. We're paying attention.
Right. It's not a show that you watch while you're folding laundry and vacuuming and stuff.
Yeah.
You have to pay attention. So. There are certain shows that I watch at work when I'm not looking at the screen and not paying attention. Fringe is not one of them.
No,
so,
I would agree.
It demands your attention.
Right.
And that's the thing that I like about it. And I've got to say, I'm looking forward to next week's from seeing the preview because apparently we're going to go over there again.
Oh, yay!
Looking forward to that a lot.
All right, I'm going to speed us up a little bit because we're a little behind. Let's go on to Supernatural. And I know some of you guys have bailed on the show, but I have to say the first episode back after our long break, it scared me at first because they were pulling that move of Sam's got his soul back, but he doesn't remember anything when he was soulless. And so they pull the whole, the whole amnesia thing, which made sense in the fact that you want to put the wall between where the soul was and whatever, and so you want to erase those memories. So that kind of makes sense. And I was okay with them removing those memories. What I wasn't okay with was them then lying to him about what's been going on for the last year. So basically, Dean is like, oh, you've been gone for a whole year and a half. Don't worry about it.
But there's a good reason for that. I mean, you know, they're trying to not scratch at that wall.
Well, I get that. But the problem is, you've got people who've seen him. It's not like he's been hiding in a closet somewhere. He's been running around doing stuff. And he's going to run into somebody that's like, yeah, dude, I saw you last month.
Right, but I think there's that idea that they're going to deal with that when they have to deal with that. They're not going to jump into it right away.
But that was, But
see, that's the thing that they always mess up. They never give full disclosure. They're always hiding something from each other. And you think by this point, no, I mean, yeah, we can't get into all the gory details, but we got to be honest with him. I mean, so that it doesn't get scratched.
It did come and bite them right away because Sam was smart enough to know that something was going on. And the first thing he did was go after the weakest link in the chain in the podcast.
Yeah.
Scene was just golden.
That was awesome.
That scene was awesome.
I like that mainly because they got rid of my dread. I was like, oh, please don't do the whole hidden thing for long. And like 30 minutes into the episode, he's like, so Cass, what's been going on for the last year and a half? And Cass was like, oh yeah, Dean told me everything. And Cass totally falls for it because he doesn't understand deceit that way. So it totally worked. He found out what was going on and thank you, we're done with the whole hidden plot lying with each other thing. So I'm glad that they, and then they had that moment where it looked like Sam wasn't going to tell Dean that he knew, but he just waited till the end of the episode when they weren't in the middle of fighting somebody and revealed it. And I was like, okay, all right. So now the question is they going to tell him what he did to Bobby? Because that Bobby's issue is totally legitimate.
Yeah, it is.
And I give him credit for trying to pretend that he's fine with Sam. But I totally get by that he's like, dude, I don't need to be within 10 feet of you. So, like, all of that. He called it, he's like, he pulled the Menendez brother.
Lines, though. I mean, you know, so how are you doing with Memento over there?
This is great. Oh, I like the whole, when he said, he called him Menendez brother. He's like, I can't deal with that whole Menendez brother thing. And I was like, oh, nice reference. And I was like, how many people are going to get that one? Well, I mean, that happened a while ago. It's like, it's a
90s.
Yeah, I know, but yeah. A generational thing. The younger crowd's not going to get it. So
Wikipedia, baby.
Separate the wheat from the chaff.
So I like the little, those little references, and the case itself was okay.
It's meh.
It was all right. But next week, oh, the best thing was at the very end of the episode when we get the first. I was like, it's the first evil.
Why? That just seems like a Buffy rerun.
Well, I know, but I have to give, because they're like, we'll bring back the mother. And I was we'll like, the mother? Mother? And there's like, the mother of all. And I went, do you mean like the mother of all evil, the first evil that created all of you? I was like, oh my God, it's the first. And so like, once my brain went to that, I was like, okay, it's the first. But then when they bring her, she's corporeal. So my main issue with the first on Buffy was that all she was a ghost. And she wasn't really threatening because she didn't do anything. At least on Supernatural, she's obviously gonna have powers. She's gonna be stronger than any of the other creatures or whatever that she created. So she's actually a threat. And that was my thing with Buffy, is I never thought that the first was a real threat. And I think that this creature, this is finally where they've got a plot where I feel like my whole issue with last season was they fought Lucifer. Where do you go from there? And now that they have the first that created all the monsters and all the creatures and is going to be all powerful, I was like, okay, they've actually got a bad guy that is at least on a somewhat same level as Lucifer. I can get behind that. I wonder if
they're going to establish that she's a Nephilim or something.
A Widwa?
Nephilim.
What from, is that?
It's, according to folklore, Judeo-Christian folklore, they were the giants in the land. They were like a step below
the gods.
Well, between angels and when angels and men crossbred, they had Nephilim.
I don't know what you're talking about, but if they do it on Supernatural, then maybe I will.
It's entirely possible that they'll reference something like that because they do love their mythology. Yeah. So they'll probably go somewhere like that.
I thought that at least now we have a big bad that's worthy of the show. So I'm on
board. And they went to great lengths to summon her. So seriously. I would assume that they're going to do something with that.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay, I'm back on board. I want to see where you're going with this. Next.
One last thing. Oh, one last thing. Just it was fun with Dean with the sword.
Oh! With the whole Excalibur? That was fantastic.
That was awesome, man. I couldn't forget
about that. I was like, he's trying to do the whole pull the sword out of the stone and he falls off, and then he's like, okay, well, you know, back in the day,
they assuming you're insured.
He's like, okay, back in the day they didn't have C4, so he freaking blows up the rock and totally shatters the sword. It was awesome. Because when he does it, I was like, oh, that worked pretty well. And then I was like, oh, did he break the sword? And he pulls it out and it's totally broken. I was like, great.
I didn't expect that. Because the rock broke all around it. So I thought, okay, he did get it. And then he pulled it out and it's only halfway there.
That was fantastic. Good move. That was a good comedy moment. All right, let's move on. The last show we want to talk about is Spartacus, Gods of the Arena. I have to give it that umph.
Well, it's such a subtle show, you know.
You Yes, yes, it is.
It was a great episode, though. I gotta give it that. That was a fun episode to watch.
The thing that I really liked about this episode is the second that Badiatis's father showed up, I was like, oh. Like, you knew that it threw a wrench in everything that, and I don't even know what to call it. I'll just call his father Dad because that'll be confusing. So there's Badiatis and then there's Dad.
Badiatis Sr. and Badiatis Jr.
So it was...
And his entrance couldn't have been better.
Oh, it was fantastic entrance. It's like, seriously, you're a kid and you got your hand stuck in the cookie jar of all things. And that's almost literal.
Two different cookie jars at the same time.
It was really, really great because they were like, oh, Dad's off in retirement land. And he comes back and it's like, I heard you're tearing apart my house, blah, 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 blah. And he totally throws a wrench in everything that Badiatis has been doing for the last two episodes. Like, all his plotting and all his maneuvering and all his sacrifices are just gone. Like, whoosh, in the wind. And just seeing him, he's like regressed to like this teenager just moping. Mm-hmm. He's like, my dad doesn't like me, and he's not approving of me, and he won't let me. He kicked me out of the room, and I got to stay down
but
the hall.
Dad!
Yeah, all of that was just so bizarre. It was like Bizarro World. But it was really, really good, because I was like, dude, your dad doesn't know what the heck is going on. You need to explain this to him. And it's just like, nah, his dad wasn't even hearing it. Because he just didn't respect him either. So all that was great. Yeah.
He respects his slaves more than he respects his own son.
Oh, yeah. And Doctorier Animaeus, and or Doctori, he seeing him like his first day as Doctori, I felt so bad because he just didn't know how to use the whip. so like he's trying.
It was
to get
so weird to see him like that too, because I'm so used to seeing him from the original series where he was just, you know, the ultimate authority.
Right.
And you see him walking out this time, and it's like, what do I do with this thing?
Yeah, it's
guys,
like...
He's like, guys, I really want you to pay attention to me, guys.
It was, and they totally were just ignoring him. And,
yeah.
And he was like, well, can you pair off with... do you mind if you go over there and pair off with that guy? And yeah, you guys continue what you're doing.
Don't mind me. It's okay. You're okay doing whatever that was. It's all right.
He was just so just not knowing what he was doing. And I have to give Lucretia credit for trying to protect the wife. I forgot her name. Trying to protect her this week. But man, she totally screwed over the other girl. Oh my God.
God.
That was the most awful. And
that,
stuff.
You know, the thing is she... What I think is interesting about the way she's playing the role is that she's not the monster that we saw in Blood and Sand.
Right.
She actually, you could see that she felt bad about doing this. I mean, she did it anyway, but you could see that she felt bad about ordering her girl to do this, service the guy. 'Cause the guy's a monster.
Oh.
You know, he's horrible. But... left to her own devices, she would not have done it on her own. She would never have ordered the girl to do something like that,
right?
Just, you know, willingly. So it was interesting to see her play a more naive version of the character, a more human version of the character,
right?
You know, to see someone who was actually capable of some amount of regret.
Right, and she's definitely playing Lucretia totally different in the prequel than she did in season one. Badiatis is pretty much the same. He's not as powerful and he's not as experienced with his plots, but he's pretty much the exact same guy.
Yeah,
so,
he's just as venal as he was later on.
Right, and I really think that, man, it's just, I have to say that in season one, I felt bad for the gladiators. And I kind of felt bad for the slaves, but you know, you're like, oh, whatever, you're watching it. I have to say that they've done a really good job in the prequel to really make you feel for the slaves. Like I was so uncomfortable and just like cringing through everything. And it just made me hate you knew that the whole situation with the Romans and slaves, you know how that is. And you kind of like, oh, it's historical, you're watching, whatever. And I've never really been that emotionally invested in the slaves, except this, and I actually don't even know that girl's name. But
no, the scene was was horrible.
Oh my
god. The scene was excruciating.
And I have to give them credit because, I mean, I really, really feel for her. And I really, really feel for that situation. And I just, yeah. Anyway. But I have to say, I want to pool out for how long you think it'll be before Bodyatus kills his dad. One episode.
Thank you.
Two episodes.
It's like as soon as his dad was going on and on, with, no, no, I'm going to stay. I'm thinking, yeah, until you're poisoned.
Yeah, he's totally going to kill his dad. Like, oh, completely. That, like, the look on his face in that last shot, I was like, yeah, dad.
I mean, it's just a matter of, you know, which one's going to win out. Is it going to be poisoning, suffocating with a pillow, being pushed down a flight of stairs? You know, we can start taking bets now.
Yeah, that's not going to be pretty. So, yeah, I think that's awesome.
In fact, when his dad started coughing during the games, I thought, oh, poisoning.
Already. All right, so we're going to wrap this up. And remember that you can send feedback to tvcampfire@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at tvcampfire. We're on Facebook. And I've got my little blog going on at tvcampfire.com. And I'll talk to you guys next week. Bye-bye.
Later.
Bye.
Bye.